Rapino.
Just think of rapini.
Rapino.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Rant and Review, where we rant about current events and then review a culturally relevant topic and give it a completely arbitrary rating. I'm Katie.
And I'm Allison.
And this week we'll be reviewing
Women's soccer.
Okay, so I do have a rant this week. Just a real quick one about how there are a lot of men on my co-ed adult softball league. So not specifically on my team, per se, but there are a lot of dudes on these teams that are taking it way too fucking seriously. And it's like, this is not a life or death scenario. We're not professional MLB players here. Like, chill the fuck out.
Yeah, is this a field rage?
Yeah, there's definitely like a real undercurrent of rage sometimes. And it's like, you're being scary.
How do all these people know each other or get together? Is it like a work related?
Okay, so it's a work, it's mm-hmm. like Tiff's office team that mm-hmm. We're both playing on it. Mm-hmm. But like, there's so many rules within this league to like make sure that it's just for fun.
Right.
Like there's a different ball for guys and girls because like the guys have to play with the bigger softball because it's harder to hit further. So it's like they make all these rules so that no one can just like, you know, beat a team like 50-0.
Right.
You know, like the whole point is that everybody's kind of like just there to have fun. And
I have too many like embarrassing thoughts and feelings about playing youth sports to then play again as an adult and care that much.
And take it that seriously.
That seriously. Like I was like ashamed. Like I like at one point was like pitching on my youth softball league and shouldn't have been and was like really bad and like, and you know, maybe was like mediocre, but like not that great. So I have so many like flashes of embarrassment from those memories. And so I would never want to be like triggered again by like, oh shit, like what if I don't?
Yeah.
You know, what like, what if I don't perform? Like, well, I could not take it that seriously. That would be so frustrating to me.
That is how it feels a little bit. Like, I get like really nervous in the outfield.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I have to catch. I can't fuck up. Like, you know, like there's this weird level of pressure. And maybe it's self-imposed. Because like, generally, everyone's really supportive. Like, even if you kind of mess up, they're like, you know, not your like next time or whatever. But like sometimes if we're getting like slaughtered, then people
get like annoyed. Yeah.
Start to get like
the vibe is palpable. Shifts. Yeah. The vibe shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I think maybe it's just a male thing to like be uber competitive.
Yeah.
So whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter who wins. There is like a championship or whatever. Which we won last year, by the way. But the problem is now, since we won the championship last year, we moved up in rank. So I think it's like more competitive now. Like in the ranking that we're in.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just feel like not trying to be competitive here.
Are you like not the type of person to shit talk? No. Like you're
like to the other team?
Yeah.
No.
Like kind of being like snarky and just like...
No.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not to say that I'm not competitive, but I'm not like going out there and being like really pissed that like, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of like, what do you do with people like that? I don't know what to do about people that are too competitive.
Yeah. Just.
There's people that are too competitive in everything. And what happens to me when people are really competitive around me is it makes me really not give a shit and want to be like totally. That happens in yoga all the time. That people are like,
who's competitive in yoga?
Oh, it's like a huge thing. There's people that they do this thing where they like every time they do a up, down, down dog or whatever, vinyasa or whatever, they do like the most extreme version of the vinyasa. That's like, I'm going to kick my legs up in the air and do like a full like upside down shit. and I'm just showing off that I can like do this. And most of the time it's like, I'm sure the teacher is also just like,
the teacher is absolutely eye rolling in the corner. Like,
exactly. Oh my God. Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, okay, no one is needing you to, I mean, same thing with people grunting in class. Oh, that happens all the time, constantly. Yeah. It's always men, by the way.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. I think like just like being uber competitive in general is really a turnoff.
Super turn off. And like,
no one's impressed, by the way.
Yeah.
Like no one is going, wow, that person's really.
Well, especially when it's not situationally like necessary.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Like at yoga.
Like that's sure, embarrassing. A competitive spirit during a major competition. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's Iron Chef or whatever, you know, I mean,
friendly competition though.
Yeah, it's like a casual, like local situation that you're like, that's silly.
Yeah.
Not needed.
Anyway, let's move on. Okay, I want to talk about Bon Appetit.
Yeah. So why did you think to bring this up? Why were you thinking that we should talk about the personalities?
Because I am obsessed.
Because you're just like, yeah. Do you watch the YouTube episodes as they come out? Yeah. Like, do you subscribe?
Yeah.
Yeah, so do I. So then they notify you and you like, do you watch every single one?
Mm-hmm.
I watch almost every single one. Are there any that you don't watch that there's someone hosting it and you're like,
I won't always watch a Chris Morocco joint.
Which
you love him.
Kind of surprising to me because I really love Chris Morocco.
He sort of creeps me a little.
That's the endearing quality of Chris Morocco. That's why you like Chris Morocco.
Haven't you heard?
Is because he's a creepy vampire that has a superhuman taste.
Right, supposedly. but haven't you heard the old adage, never trust a skinny chef?
What does that have to do with anything?
He might be a supposed super taster, but does he ever eat? I don't
know. He
trust
does seem like a super taster, though, because every time he tastes something, it seems like he's very attuned.
He's definitely experiencing it.
You think it's a put on? He's like acting through all of the
sensations. I don't know why.
Sensations.
I don't. There's something about him that I just don't. I'm not attracted to him as like a personality type. Like he doesn't.
I think sometimes his recipes are not that interesting.
That's what I'm saying.
I think he as a personality is interesting, but sometimes I'm a little let down by his recipes.
Yeah, and I've made some of his
recipes.
It's
like actually the opposite of how I feel about Molly.
Yeah. Oh, you don't like her?
Well, no. I just think that I'm underwhelmed by her. Oh, like her appearance, and when I first saw her, I was like, oh, she's just like a normal like.
She's very
anthro girl that's
blonde.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, what's the deal? And then I'm like shockingly like
obsessed.
So obsessed with all of her recipes. She has the best recipes.
Yeah. Her recipes, because her recipes are like the like nastiest in a good way.
They really are.
They're like the cheesiest, ooey gooey.
They're like munchies.
Yeah.
Her recipes are munchies.
Did you see the.
She's like, I specifically need to have every sense. Yeah. Every taste.
Yeah.
Sensation.
And every textural.
Every texture. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Did you see the one that was like potato salad done in the style of like chips and dip?
Yeah. Did I send that to you? I was like,
I don't know, maybe.
What? Oh, no. That's the one that Bobby Finger was talking about on Twitter. Oh. Bobby Finger from Who Weekly Fame.
Yeah.
We stand.
Yeah.
Literally posted that and was like, for it was, I think it was like his 4th of July like recipe post. Yeah. And he was like, a Molly, obviously.
Yeah, duh.
Who else would be making this
something
sour cream and onion chip potato salad?
With like chips on top.
With chips on
it. I mean, come on.
Just broken, just like broken up, crumbled chips.
Okay, so wait, I need to understand why you don't like Carla, because I love Carla.
Okay, so
like personality.
Here's the thing. I have respect for Carla.
Mad respect.
I have mad respect for Carla. Like, because she's like an OG, right? Like, mm-hmm. She's like, yeah. So I have like an inherent respect for Carla. I get her like position. She's like run. She like hired a lot of people, right? And she like used to run the kit. She used to be like everyone's boss, I think, there.
Oh, I don't know.
And then I think maybe stepped away and then came back or something. And then, but she. I just think when she's having conversations with people, she tends to say these things that I'm like, yeah, like, oh, it like, doesn't really yeah, like, duh. I don't get a lot of like light bulb moments from Carla where I'm like, you know what I mean?
But I think that's also her way of speak. Like the way that she talks is sort of like, I mean, like, duh.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like, yeah. She's like,
I'm drawn to her as like a maternal figure.
Okay, I was about to say like, yeah. I love her. She's so warm. I want her to be my mom. Right. I know she's not old enough to be my mom, but like, no, I but want she has her to be like my cool aunt.
She knows. She knows she's like the maternal figure she's, of the.
Yeah, I just want to. Yeah. I feel like she would give me a really good hug.
Oh, she would. She would give you a really good hug.
And I think her recipes are good usually.
I tend to like, I just get like kind of bored during her videos. That's my only. I don't know.
But I think, again, I think this is part of like her way of speaking, her mannerisms, her like cadence is very sort of like matter of fact and just like, well, yeah, obviously you would do this. Like,
did I tell you the thing that I do really like about Carla?
What?
That she always talks about putting lettuce in a bag and spinning it around with her arm.
Oh, yeah. To dry the. This.
I love.
Have you seen her do it? It's funny.
I did watch her do it and I was laughing. Yeah. And no, and I'm like drawn to that in particular because I don't have a salad spinner.
Yeah.
And I'm obsessed with getting a salad spinner right now. I have never had one.
You know what it is though? Okay. Just like quick note on salad spinners. Like great, great idea. Great invention. Really ends up just taking up a lot of space and like.
Okay, that's what Kieran said as well. He was like, it takes up way too much. You have to store it. But Molly is like, you have to have a salad spinner. There's like,
you do technically need to get the water.
Yeah. So should
you
I just
gotta
do
get the water off your greens somehow. I
always have watery greens. Yeah. I'm like always like patting them. I'm wasting all these paper towels. Yeah. Like I'm like running through a roll of paper towels with like.
I guess you gotta get
greens.
A spinner.
I need
you
one.
Need a spinner.
Is there like a compact one?
Xylus, like, if you're listening, we'd love sponsorship.
Or OXO.
OXO. Oh, yeah.
Hello. Let's get an OXO sponsorship.
I love
OXO.
I'm not getting any younger over here. I love OXO. You know, it was originally invented for like old people with arthritic hands.
Oh, for
That's
real.
That's why everything's so ergonomic and big and chunky.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love OXO.
Yeah, I'm drawn to OXO.
Anyway, so gotta spin your greens. I guess I understand. You just don't feel like revelatory content coming from Carla.
Yeah.
But that's not her vibe. Like we're talking
about.
No, that's
not her vibe.
She's the maternal.
I want her to be. Here's the thing. I want Carla to be in the room. I just don't want to only watch Carla. Mm. That's how I feel about Carla. I want her to be in the room. I want her to be making a side.
I do love watching her interact with other people. Mm-hmm. Like she's super funny.
Right.
And like.
Right.
Sort of rude in like a cute way.
I love when she comes into a Claire video. That's what I love. Or you know what I mean, like okay, she makes an appearance in with someone else.
I have to say, back to Molly really quick, one of her like personality quirks that I love the most is the over abbreviation of like
everything.
Word
she
I love it
everything
because like I used to do I've had a period of time where I was doing that too and it got like too much, like I was doing really like abbreviating too many words to like not even sensible, but she just like owns it and
she
still
owns
does
it. Still does it. Loves
and
it. Will not ever stop.
Every time she says like an abbreviated word that you have to go like, wait, what? And you're like, oh, it's like so funny because it's so ridiculous. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I think she's like really cute for being so basic looking.
Yeah. Totally agree. Yeah. Shockingly not as basic as you think.
Yeah. And I hate being like, you look basic.
No, but she I mean, we have to say, she does look like she would not season her food.
But
she...
Au contraire,
she has the best seasoning.
Salty AF.
She's salty AF and like loves like mixtures, like interesting like mixtures of seasoning. Yeah. So it's like, I'm like,
and she likes
I
like
stand.
Funky things too.
Mm-hmm.
Like she likes funky sort of like...
I like how she puts cream flavors. On everything.
Yeah, she loves sour she cream. Loves and so do I. So
that Yukon gold potato recipe with just
God,
like a
smashed,
bed of sour cream.
I've made it and it's so fucking good.
My friend
and
made it on Instagram and I was like,
anchovy walnut dressing. It's fucking bonkers. It's bonk to quote.
But when I was watching that video and she literally laid down a bed of layer of sour cream, I was like,
you best believe.
Yeah.
That's how I made it. And it was fucking so good.
Yeah, I could not handle that part.
Mm. Yum. Okay, so who else? Oh, we got to talk about Claire.
We need to talk about Claire. Claire is like the obvious stan. People are like obsessed with Claire.
But what's funny about that is I feel like she's kind of a bitch. Like, she's pretty cold.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah. She's people love that.
People love that vibe. People love like...
unattainable.
How she's like... really neurotic.
Yo, yeah.
Really like anxious. Yes. Like she's like the worst person to be doing that type of video.
Her sighing.
Her series of.
But she's a pastry chef. That's why.
She's a pastry chef, but she gets so upset.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the Brad is like, we are like ruining her.
Yeah.
Like he's like concerned.
She's like constantly gonna check her in. Always sick though. That's one thing I can't stand about her. I'm like, girl, take some echinacea. Like, what is going on?
But I do get frustrated when people are always
she's sick every video. I'm like, is she sick again? Like, she's always got a stuffy nose.
Her immune system and Andy's immune systems are like don't opposite even. Total opposites from each other, where he's like awake and alive and
alert, like, and enthusiastic,
the most healthy yeah
he's a living green juice. A living, breathing green
juice.
He's
a green juice in a tight-fitting H&M tee.
With holes, strategically placed holes.
Yeah, and a loose collar.
You're kind of doing an Andy look today, actually.
I am an Andy
You have,
Andy
like,
look.
A loose, really loose collar t-shirt with lots of strategically placed
it's
holes.
Shredded yeah. Like Andy.
Shred us.
And, like, some chicken.
So.
And then there's Brad.
Wait, but I want to go back to Claire.
Okay, yeah.
So
I feel
also,
like Brad and Claire are kind of like
they're buds.
They're like combined.
I like their relationship. Although at times I'm like,
well, that's the thing. Everyone has the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've all got our monocle.
The monocle.
So like Claire.
Magnifying glass.
Yeah. Claire, I like her because she's a baker. So like, obviously I love her videos.
Yeah.
I am annoyed that she's always sick. And by annoyed, I'm like concerned annoyed. Like, I'm like, do we need to help you? Like, what can we do to help you? She is pretty cold, which like I like because I think I'm a Claire. I think that's what so it's like I can't like love her because it's like I see myself reflected. So I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
That's why you're drawn to Molly.
Yeah. Yeah. Very opposite of me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
In some ways. Yeah. But I also think like there's some, like I'm weirdly attracted to like physically.
Oh,
like I think she's pretty hot.
So hot.
Yeah. Like the gray streak.
I'm pretty sure that's why also why people are obsessed with Claire. She is like,
I think
yeah.
she's really
no,
hot.
I'm like, I am literally growing my hair out gray to be like Claire. Like, cause she's very youthful looking. She's very young looking.
Oh my God. Great skin.
A young great person, skin. Like in their 30s with a full gray, a woman that has gray or white hair is like. Yeah.
Oh. But it's the streak though. The it's streak. Not a full head.
Right,
it's
right,
the
right.
Stacey London 2.0.
It's such a good, that is such a good vibe.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Also like that bod.
I don't
like sometimes I'm like,
they're always wearing aprons. You can't tell what their bods.
You just commented on someone's feet on that show. During our Texas itch. You pointed out that someone's wearing sandals. I was like, how do you know?
No. Emil. And they're not sandals. They're the closed toe Birkenstocks that look like very Bilbo Baggins.
The backless?
The big, it's like a big closed toe with the backless.
Right.
It's very Bilbo Baggins.
The Birkenstock clog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Backless. Anyway.
But I still don't know how you saw that.
But he doesn't cook, so he's not wearing aprons and stuff. Like, we know what he's wearing all
the
time.
We are, like, very attuned to his style
choices. Yeah,
because
his quote-unquote
style choices.
Oy. The
I always want to knock off those sunglasses.
The like perv glasses.
Get these like druggy.
Gross.
Druggy.
They're pervy to
Hunter
me.
S. Thompson like sunglasses out of here.
Not it's, a cute I look.
Don't understand it.
No. Yeah. So anyway, whatever.
Anyways, he's Claire has a hot bod.
He's leaving. How do you know that though?
Because she always turns around and I see her butt. I'm always checking out Claire's butt.
I feel like she seems short.
I think she is really short.
I don't trust short people. Call back.
Mail moment.
On your awesome days, I suspect you are a godsend.
Mail moment.
I hated Brad at first because I was like not interested in like that's big doofy yeah. oafy.
Oh, who is this oaf? Who is yeah. this goof?
But I started watching his
It's Alive.
It's Alive, mm-hmm. the series. And
well,
like,
I went through all the Claire videos.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, what do I watch? But next? You know what? I watch all the pizza videos.
The pizza yeah, the session series. Is so good. But It's Alive, the editing on It's Alive is so fucking
That's
funny.
That's what makes like, it. Every comment on YouTube is like, this editor needs like yeah, an award.
Seriously. The way that they make fun of everything he says, and it's just like so
warder.
Funny. Yeah, warder. And where he's like, that. He makes like a lot of weird noises, you know?
That was a really good Brad.
And they put words mm-hmm. to those sounds mm-hmm. and you're like, mm-hmm. it's so funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think he's like a sweet, like if Carla's the mom, he's the dad.
Oh, yeah.
Like he's
Mega
like
dad.
A sweet, again, would give a real warm hug. You know?
Yeah. He literally like lives in Bergen County, like New Jersey, like with Marrow and like all the other like cool dads that like
Who's
have
Marrow?
Like, you know, Desus and Marrow, like,
oh yeah.
yeah. Who has like five kids. Mm-hmm. They're like the internet content, like
dads.
Cool dads
yeah.
of Jersey. Mm-hmm. Like that's, there's like a club now of like all the like,
yeah,
all the viral vid, like
yeah.
dads.
He's really grown on me in a dad way. I think he's really cute.
Can I just say though too that I really like, so I do, I think generally like Bon Appetit, there's the personalities which we love,
mm-hmm.
but they do such a good job of doing this thing that is that makes, okay, so it's similar how I feel about Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, mm-hmm. where it's like they are really making it accessible and also highlighting things about cooking that are very important, mm-hmm. like seasoning,
yeah.
where it's like, oh, like during the videos they're like actually being very instructive for home cooks in a yeah. way that's like not talking down to people,
yeah.
not being like, and that's why I truly love them,
yeah.
like that they're like, they're fun and they have great personalities and I love, like obviously there's that part of it, but
yeah.
I do actually think they do a good job of that.
Yeah.
To go back to Chris Morocco, he's very thoughtful about being like, we had a conversation about if we want to ask home cooks to do this or this and we decided to do this, like he,
yeah.
they like go through that.
Well,
and you're like, oh, that's really cool, like I'm learning about how they're running their test kitchen, and also it helps me like be more informed.
And also they generally try to use ingredients that are like most accessible, like accessible
right.
in most parts of the country, I guess,
right,
but like sometimes they're like, this is just the best one, like
right,
if it's gonna be the best you have to use this, you
like
know?
How he was like when he made the chocolate chip cookies and he's like, you have to chop up your bar,
yeah,
we know that this is painful, you're not gonna like, he was like, this is personally my least
yeah he's like
part.
I hate
he's
this.
Like I hate chopping up this chocolate.
But actually I have to say I disagree. I have made chocolate chip
oh,
cookies
shit.
Where you chop up bars and like that's good and everything, but I much prefer the discs. It's like not a chip.
It's not a chip.
It's like a flat, round disc. Also, I also have another qualm with that recipe. If you're browning butter for cookies, you're wasting your time. I've tried it and it does not add enough of a
this is such a dramatic
differing flavor to be worth it. I mean, go for it, but it's a waste of like 40 minutes of your life.
It takes a really long it
yeah.
always it also takes a lot longer than
yeah
people think.
They all and they always are like, it takes like 10 minutes, and
yeah
it's like
and you're
40
like, oh,
minutes later
okay, like
yeah.
half an hour later I'm still yeah. waiting for this fucking butter to brown.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just, it's not worth it. I've done it multiple times.
Same
and
thing with why
every time
why does everything always take longer? The other thing that takes forever is like caramelizing onions.
Yeah,
I'm like,
so long.
Actually this is gonna take an hour.
Yeah.
Why are you saying caramelize in 8 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, truly. Because, like, I mean, you can burn them in 8 minutes and they'll be
right.
caramelized to,
right.
to a certain degree.
Right.
But, yeah,
definitely. Yeah, technically, there is some caramelization.
Yeah, that has occurred. Okay, so what you were saying about how they are really intentional about helping people understand how to season food leads into another rant, which is, I know this is, like, old news, but I cannot stand how people cannot season their food. Like, I don't understand what's happening. There's so much content on the internet making fun of that exact issue.
Right.
So, like, get it together.
Right.
Like,
so,
why is this still occurring?
Yeah, this specifically is about, even though there have been multiple years now of people saying, White people season their food.
Season your food.
Like the joke now is like passe. It's
yeah.
like an old
yeah, it's
trope.
Like not
to
even
be like,
funny.
Oh, white people like, please season your food. But maybe it's not, because it continues to happen still to this day, white people, all the time.
White people are at it again. Still not seasoning.
Still not seasoning their food, which is bizarre.
I don't understand it. So I was talking to, like, Tiff and I were talking about, we were trying to sort of, like, you know, decode what's going on. And we're like, are people seasoning only while they're cooking, and then they don't taste the final product and do, like, a seasoning of the final product as well? Or are they not seasoning throughout the cooking process and then only doing seasoning at the end? Or, like, what's happening? Like, where's the salt? Why is it not happening? I just need to know answers. Because, like, I said before, everything we eat that we don't make at home is, like, very salty and, like, well seasoned.
Right.
If not too seasoned.
Yeah, like restaurant food and takeout.
Fast food and all that stuff is like very seasoned.
It's very seasoned.
So it can't be that people think like it's not like, oh, they haven't eaten well seasoned food.
I don't know though. I think there's a couple things going on. One, I do think generally people don't know what food tastes good. Like, we've talked about this before, but, like, Yelp, like, I mean, have you read, like, Yelp reviews where you're like, okay, these people, like, literally don't know what they're talking about, what food is, what constitutes good food, why food would be, you know,
eaten,
tasty or not tasty. So there's that. And then also, I think, so this is a kind of recent phenomenon in cooking and food stuff where they are providing more accessibility and more information about this part of it, which is like
why we do certain things that make it
like
necessary.
This new style of like the salt fat acid heat, where it's like, okay, I'm like showing you like why I'm tasting it throughout each stage and like showing you that I'm
really
seasoning it
over explaining actually.
Over explaining right, because before you would just either have a printed recipe that said the ingredients, or you would have someone at one point showing you like put this ingredient in.
Yeah.
And there's none of that context.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, I am tasting it throughout and I am.
Yeah. And I'm realizing that it's
and I'm adjusting throughout.
Yeah,
I'm like adjusting as I go. Right.
Yeah.
Because that's why also salt, fat, acid, he was so instrumental in saying like, hey, this maybe isn't ruined. Like you can like adjust.
You can do this.
You can do this. You know, make sure to watch this thing. Like, and I think like white people don't inherently know that. They really don't. I know that's like, but I think like generationally, like there's no history of.
Historically, like, white people are bad cooks.
Are bad cooks and have made bad food and don't know about that balance of like spicy, acid, like, you know, crunchy, like they're like those things that make like a really good, yummy meal are like.
There's also this other element that like links back to like everything that's wrong with white people. That's like, that's like being criticized, or even if it's like constructive criticism, like responding to criticism by doubling down on whatever the behavior like.
Right. So like, do you think that there should be some kind of in the moment conversation about seasoning in that situation? So say you go to like a
I'm at a potluck.
Say you go to a potluck or you're at a work event or something, and there's like a lot of unseasoned food.
Well, I mean, I'm tempted for sure to be like, where's the salt or whatever, but it's also like,
can you do it
I'm
in
not trying
a casual,
to be rude.
Can you do it in a casual way where you're like, oh, I think this needs something. And you're like, because that's what I was kind of thinking of, like, oh, especially if you're with friends or something, like maybe you could be like, oh, hey, like, I think this needs something. You grab a lemon and slice it up and, like, put some salt on it. Or, you know what I mean? Like,
I feel like
that's
I'm...
That's kind of rude, probably.
I feel like I'm incapable of finding a way to do that that's not snarky.
Right.
Because I, like, famously, like, can't hide my true... Like, I'm not a good liar, you know?
Yeah.
I can't, like, fake things
well enough.
I just
feel like food should be communal. And this is another white thing of, like, not being able to talk honestly and transparently about things in the moment, like that's something that I've been trying to work on, which is like just acknowledge, like if there's a vibe, like just acknowledge it and just be like,
just
hey, like
just naming things,
just saying it
in the world that are real at the time that they are
in
real,
the moment,
rather than like
and, yeah,
festering and I think the problem is like Tiff and I specifically are just like pretty snobby about food and cooking because we cook a lot and we're like very into cooking, and so therefore very judgmental of like other people's cooking.
There are people that like literally don't care. Like you were talking about those unseasoned chicken breasts. Like there are people I work with
who literally eat an unseasoned
chicken breast because they literally don't care about food or like what things taste like.
Which to me is boggles the mind.
Yeah.
The reality is like, okay, maybe we need to like do a lot of this like holding hands in a circle and growing together and blah blah blah, but like just put salt on food. Like it's not that hard.
Taste as you go. Season as you go. Season with other things besides salt. I mean, salt is like important, but there are other seasonings and other like go to like a spice shop. Go but like learn about like seasonings.
Also, though, everything needs salt. Like you will not make a dish that does not you don't put salt in.
Actually,
That is a very good point. Like everything requires salt.
We should just mention how bullshit any of the videos are that where it's like either no salt is in it
or like a tiny pinch. Like even
what's a dish that you could literally just use a tiny pinch? I've never made anything in my life that tasted good that had like
sardines like anchovies, something that is like already that is basically a anchovies form on of a salt.
Cracker you don't really need salt like, on anchovies on a cracker.
Actually can replace salt in a lot of they do replace salt in a lot of salty, dishes
something like extra a sardine a mashed sardine replaces but that's it that's the only exception.
Speaking of sardines, let's talk about Ariel.
Our transitions are like so that? Good this app. I did see a lot of funny fish jokes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were like some funny takes that were like,
if you eat Ariel's ass, does it taste like tuna or something? Ew. Like, I don't know.
God. I mean, probably. She also doesn't have an asshole. She's a fish.
Right.
Or I guess they must have assholes. Whatever. I don't know.
Anatomically in a mermaid fin where an asshole would be.
Yeah. Beside the point, but still intriguing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this whole debacle. So what you were telling me is that the Halle Bailey. The whole like anti Halle Bailey being Ariel in the live action is actually fake and so created by bots or what?
Not the whole thing. Like there are definitely horrible people that are posting that they're like upset about Ariel being played by a black girl. I don't think the volume is very high of actual people that are, I think my point is, so there was like a really prominent tweet that was sent out that where apparently like the profile photo and the subsequent photo that was posted where the girl was like, I'm not racist, I have a half black friend. Those were both fake taken from like other Instagram people. And then the photo of them getting mad about, which when I saw this picture, so the profile posted a picture of the Little Mermaid DVD and it was like, I'm throwing away my DVD, like blah blah blah. And the hand was like very masculine, like a large man's hand. And it did look really weird to me. And I was like, what is happening with this photo? And then later someone was like, oh, all three of these photos are from the internet and this account is like fake. And now it's gotten shut down. And apparently, like, I heard, I don't know if this is true, it was like a gay man that was behind like the bot, the troll account. But
why?
I don't know. But and then people were like, oh, it's like another campaign to sow discord in America and like cause like racial tension or whatever, which I guess it did or does.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like the backlash was a lot stronger than like the actual. I have seen like a few actual tweets from racists that are like upset about
many. That's to be expected, right? I mean, this happens every time anything slightly changes about any version of anything.
Yeah.
Away from whiteness, straightness.
I thought it was funny that redhead, like there was like a redhead.
That was like redhead erasure.
That is erasure.
Oh my God, that's embarrassing. What a bad take, right?
I have red hair, and she was the only person I had in my life when I was young.
No, girl. Oh, God. Yeah, it's just so embarrassing. And, like, she's going to kill it. Like, she can sing.
Yeah, so the group is... Are they sisters?
Mm-hmm.
Chloe and Hallie.
Yeah, they're not twins, but they are sisters.
Okay.
Or maybe... They might be, like, fraternal. They don't look exactly alike.
Mm.
So I'm not sure. I think one is slightly older. Yeah, they're really cute. And they can really fucking sing.
Yeah. And she's, like, she looks great.
She looks like, she also looks like a Disney princess.
She does look like a Disney princess. Yeah, like, she's a
gorgeous, like, cute.
Her face is, like, very, like, it's like a doll.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has, like, wide set eyes. But in, like, a
good way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, really good casting.
She has, like, oversized features that make her look, like, mm-hmm. so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am a little depressed that Lizzo is not going to be Ursula.
Yeah.
I was totally on that
ship. I thought that would be good casting as well.
Amazing casting. Well, do you see that video?
What's her name?
Of her singing Poor Unfortunate Souls.
It's going to be Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah. Which, like,
and they haven't casted Eric yet.
Yeah. But have you seen all the funny tweets that are, like, just give us what we want? And it's, like... Like, there was one that was, like, Jerry Seinfeld and, like, just ridiculous.
I saw a hot Asian guy. Mm. I didn't know who it was. I can't remember his name now, but I was like, oh. I'm just, like, learning, like, new hot guys from that from that meme.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of torn because I'm like, should we be giving attention to, like, I literally saw there was a trending hashtag for Not My Ariel, but then, like, when I looked through it, it was all responses to that hashtag that we're using that hashtag.
Yeah.
And I do kind of wonder if there's, like, I mean, we just know that this has happened before where there's like a cultural argument about something, especially involving race, where it's kind of used to create this fervor and, like, this
tension. Yeah.
And it's not necessarily from always actual sources.
Well, but
like,
I think,
or like a very, very small amount of sources that they're just getting signal boosted.
But
they're
isn't just getting, that always the case? That's been the case. That's like the...
I know, but how do we shut it down before it like propagates? Like that's the thing. I'm like, can we like just clamp it before... What do you do when something your like leg is like...
Put a tourniquet.
We need to tourniquet it.
We need
to
amputate it is what we actually need to do. Yeah.
Before it spreads.
Because that's the whole thing with like quarantine. Trump being elected. It's like that's the whole
thing.
How do
we quarantine like fucked up bad, just like bad takes before they like spread and then there's like a backlash and then it's like a whole thing and we have to deal with it for a week and it's like
well,
the
and
dumbest
then,
like if the internet didn't exist literally no one would say anything about the new Ariel,
people just in their own heads being like
that's
not Ariel.
I mean just like
so
the idea
stupid.
Of like there not being any black Disney princesses except Tiana. Sorry.
From what was that one called?
From Princess and Frog.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's like, well, in like half the movie, she's a frog.
Literally, it took them like 100 years to have one like non-white. Yeah. I guess Mulan sort of counts as a
Yeah, there's like
princess.
Mulan, Jasmine, Tiana, and that's kind of it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, okay, I'm a Mulan stan. I just have to put that out there, obviously.
Hmm.
Hot.
You would be. You would be.
That was like one of my favorite
That's
movies
so on brand for you.
Yeah, I know, right? Okay.
Anyways. Yes, obviously, like, racist shut up about Ariel. Yeah. Like, just shut up.
Yeah.
But it's, like, also... Let's not give it too much attention. So we chose to do women's soccer this week. Why did we choose women's soccer?
Well, obviously, the championship game for the World Cup is this week, right?
Yeah.
USA is in the championship against the Netherlands, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Netherlands just won. The game is on Sunday.
Yeah. Huge global audience. For instance, the U.S. women's team is, like, way more successful than the U.S. men's team and has a way, like, a big, huge audience, but they're paid significantly less.
Yeah.
It's like the wage gap within athletics in general, not just soccer, like basketball, like all athletics,
yeah,
between men and men's and women's teams is like way more significant than right. just the national wage gap right. in general.
Right. Yeah. So the reason this stood out to me as a topic is like, obviously, like culturally, there's this big, huge event happening mm-hmm. and Megan Rapinoe and the team and a lot of women in soccer are being highlighted and mm-hmm. have tons of endorsement deals and are like, you know, it just on the global stage right now yeah. being talked about, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot, obviously been a lot of political news like mm-hmm. that's been going on, like kind of swirling because that always tends to like get swept up in stuff.
Yeah.
But there's like this simmering, like there's like a huge underbelly of like, well, yeah, but they don't get paid as much. Mm-hmm. They're like totally underappreciated. They're totally undervalued. They don't, even though they're like the most recognizable figures right now on the global stage, there's all this like bullshit
mm-hmm.
that's like been always under the current of this
mm-hmm.
sport.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think soccer obviously has had like a lot of, there's like FIFA scandal, all this like other yeah. stuff that's been going on with it. But yeah. particularly with women's sports, there's like, and women's soccer, mm-hmm. there's all this like gross shit
yeah.
that goes along with it. Mm-hmm. Which is really interesting. Also, it's just like a queer topic. It's yeah. a women's topic. It's yeah. like Seattle. Like, there's like a lot of local elements yeah, to it. There's like a Seattle power couple involved. A lot
of convergence of personal mm-hmm. interests mm-hmm. happening. Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, it's not even just, I think a lot of people don't even know sort of like how bad the statistics are. Like, it's not just like, oh, women are being paid less than men. It's like literally in the national league that most of the U.S. women's team members come from, the minimum salary is like $16,000 and the maximum salary is $46,000, which means they're not even being paid like a living wage. Like, it's not just like, oh, they're not being paid, you know, the 50 million
on the national women's soccer team.
Yeah, that means that their salary, the minimum salary, doesn't meet a living wage. Like, that's below the poverty line.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
the country.
Yeah.
Which is like, these are top athletes who have exposure.
Yeah.
And actually, it's like, I think people are also like, well, they do endorsements and da da da. You know, like people use all these like other yeah. reasons why it's to rationalize something that's clearly yeah. so fucked up.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's all of that is beside the
which
point.
Which is like so bootlicking and like
yeah.
hail corporate
yeah.
to like just make excuses for why people shouldn't get paid. It
right.
makes no sense.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And it's like, yeah, they're doing endorsements because they need money. You can't live on $16,000 a year. Yeah.
It reminds me of the NCAA stuff.
Scandal.
Where NCAA yeah. players don't get paid a salary even though they
at
make
all. Yeah.
billions of dollars for
yeah.
the owners and
yeah.
schools.
I mean, athletics in general is sort of an insidious
yeah
like the NFL
yeah
you know there's a lot of really dark shit
yeah have you ever read did you read the article about cheerleaders
yes
oh my
they
god
they literally like pay money to be on
that is
those
one of the most fucked up things
yeah.
I've ever read
yeah
like and they, I don't know if it was multiple but it, I was like this is like horrendous
mm-hmm.
I mean you know that like people are being abused like you can just
yeah.
I you can feel it like you're
yeah.
like ooh, this is like not a good
no.
situation but then to like read the specific like financial situation mm-hmm. of some of those women is like really
yeah.
awful.
It's really gross.
Yeah.
One of the things that disturbed me the most was Alex Morgan, who's like one of if not the star player of the U.S. women's team right now.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like hailed as one of the greatest female athletes. She's apparently paid upwards of $1 million per year. But then players like Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi are paid mm-hmm. 100 times that much per year. Like
right.
that, it's just so drastic. The gap, the wage gap is so drastic. I don't understand how it's even able
yeah.
to occur at this sort of egregious level.
Yeah.
Like the average, I think I read somewhere, was like 38 cents on the dollar.
Right.
Versus like the national wage gap is whatever, like 83 or whatever it is, 70,
mm-hmm.
whatever, depending on your race
average,
and your stature
like,
and stuff
yeah.
like that. Yeah.
Latinx women is like the lowest.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
I guess I just don't understand like how anyone anywhere is rationalizing this on a mass scale so that it's continuing to be this.
Yeah, bad. And I think the old arguments that are kind of like around viewership and all this stuff are
all of that is a moot point because the viewership is really high.
Right. And like their jerseys are number one selling jerseys. They're making tons of money for all of the companies that basically profit off of women's soccer as a thing. They're all making their money.
Yeah.
So the only people that aren't getting paid are the players
who are really doing out the of work. The situation. Yeah. It's really bizarre. I guess I just like don't under. It seems so. It's like so transparently corrupt that I don't understand how it's it continues to exist in this way.
Yeah. So the most like kind of gross thing to me about the whole situation. I mean, there's like I think that the financial part is bad, but the really gross part that makes me feel really icky about this whole thing is how people like talk down to players and athletes, and particularly female athletes and people of color that play athletics. Like there's so much like weird scolding and like policing of players' bodies and actions and the things that they say.
Yeah,
like the first scandal was like her saying, "I'm not going to the White House."
Megan Rapinoe.
Yeah, and
then that unleashed a whole tirade from Fuckhead.
Yeah, and I think like she's just like being very outspoken, and that's great. But then for people to say like, you can't make that pose with your body, like when she's holding her arms outstretched and is like very happy and
like what confident. Is offensive about that pose?
It doesn't make that makes people zero are like, sense to me.
Oh, she's so cocky. And what was the Piers Morgan fucking thing?
Oh, Piers Morgan is like a total fucking asshole. He's like, the best thing about Piers Morgan, honestly, is that he always has a bad take.
Yeah. And he's always wrong. He's always wrong. Proven wrong every single time. Like he's always like, because I saw his snarky ass tweet about like, yeah, England's going to show that cocky little blah, blah, blah about Megan Rapinoe. And then we won. And it's like,
give me the confidence of a wrong Piers Morgan.
Yeah.
Any day.
Truly. Yeah. Truly.
Every day I'm going to walk around with that confidence. Yeah.
But then you'll just be, you'll be constantly beaten down everywhere you go. Like a confident woman is a problem in society just generally. Like being confident either makes you a bitch, it makes you cocky or egotistical. Yeah,
it's all dog whistles to use that language. Just call, you know, just a player that's on the national or global stage performing their best at their peak. Like, I mean,
well, and then you saw how people were saying when they did beat England and Alex Morgan did the like tea drinking gesture and people were like, that was so distasteful. It's like, how? It's like so silly.
But that only happens with women and with black and brown players.
Yeah.
Black and brown players are also treated that way. Yeah. They're also told like,
like NFL players.
Don't celebrate.
Yeah, when they dance, when they make a touchdown or whatever.
Don't act like this. Like, meanwhile, like, fucking Tebow can pray and, like, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Any player, you know, that's white, a white man can do whatever they want. I mean, it's just blatantly, it's so obviously, like.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, the how transparent the corruption of all of these elements, I'm just, like, baffled by how it's just able to continue so bold-faced.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's just like white men in power and therefore like everything else.
Yeah. There are like no female owners in sports. Are there? Like, are there any women that own teams?
Whoa. I hadn't even thought about that, but I feel like no. There are a lot of wives of owners. Like that bitch.
The one that Beyonce. Yeah. Okay, this article from 2018 says there are 9 owners in all of sports that are women.
Well, that's better than I thought it was going to be, I guess.
6 teams in the NFL have female owners. But, okay, so it's all husband-wife partnership.
That's okay, so I was right.
Okay, the NBA has 1 full owner that is a woman.
Okay.
The NHL... Nope, that's a wife.
We got a wife.
Hashtag, so I think in all of sports, there's one woman
who's
owner,
like who's outright a sole an owner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Apparently on the Forbes list of like the top most, you know, well-paid athletes in the world, there is not a single woman. And Serena Williams was on it in 2017 at number 52. But otherwise.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Isn't that shocking?
That's so wild.
She's like
wild.
The best athlete. Like she's like regarded as the best tennis player like ever.
How is that possible?
I have no idea. Well, and then the other thing is the prize like pot for these, like the Women's World Cup, the prize money is like $3 million. And then for the Men's World Cup, it's like 40 or something or more.
What are the systemic, okay, besides men being in charge, which is obvious and always
the root of every rotten apple. Like that's our new thing, the root of the rotten apple. It doesn't even make sense, but you know.
Every podcast up we have to just lay out
go
the
back
fact
to
that
the root
that
of
men
the
are
issue.
The problem.
Yeah.
But besides that, what else are the systemic issues causing some of these disparities? Like they would point to historically there weren't viewers for women's sports, mm-hmm. only for
which
men's sports.
Isn't true.
Which now today is not as true. Especially in both tennis and soccer.
And basketball. I saw this specific statistic that said like the WNBA viewership is like consistently rising. So basically the viewership is growing exponentially
right.
year over year.
Right.
So yeah. So saying like, oh, nobody watches women's sports isn't
yeah.
is just
yeah.
like provably untrue.
Yeah. My marketing brain like flashes during conversations like this because when something is trending up,
mm-hmm.
you want to take advantage of it. You want to invest in it. You want to like provide the
resources too.
To
yeah.
that, whatever that it trend is.
Yeah.
And so for anyone to look at something like this and say it's like how it's similar to me to how people were talking about soccer like 10 years ago
uh-huh.
when they were like, oh yeah, in America, this is like very US centric of course, but mm-hmm. like America doesn't have the same audience for soccer, blah,
yeah.
blah blah blah, and that is absolutely different now.
Yeah.
Like you look around and like there's like
yeah.
you know, equal
mm-hmm.
for someone who's like at either an executive level or like on a board or whatever, like in power, and to say, oh, I'm just gonna like disregard this,
but don't
this huge increase and trend of people being really, really interested and
don't
fans
you think
of
the default,
these sports.
The default is always, you know, like let it slide as long as possible until you actually have to start, like at like corporate levels, right? We're talking about like underpaying
yeah,
people
just
that are
don't
doing
pay
all
people.
The work. Yeah,
right,
they
yeah.
just like don't want
right.
to pay.
Yeah.
For they see more profits because it is trending up.
Right. Right.
So they're like, good. I'm gonna invest the same amount.
Yeah.
See more profits.
Yeah.
Until it actually becomes
yeah,
an issue.
Which is
where
why
somebody,
collective bargaining and like a union type activity would be best for.
Yeah.
These
well, and which is
women,
why
female athletes.
Which is why the women's soccer team is like in a lawsuit with U.S. Soccer League suing for better wages.
Yeah.
It's like they're not going to do anything until like legal action like that occurs, right? Because
yeah.
it's like they're going to try yeah. to get away with it as long as possible.
This kind of like leads to just like a general conversation about protests with
yeah.
sports, because, you know, is like political protests like even, you know, are people being punished for political protests in sports? Like all the Colin
right.
Kaepernick stuff. Megan Rapinoe was like one of the first or
I think she's the first white athlete at all
to kneel
for the national anthem.
There have been others
mm-hmm.
that have been white, but
yeah.
I wonder, is she the only soccer player to do it? I wonder. Anyways, it's just hilarious to me that like everyone is like all constantly talking about how great Muhammad Ali was and like
mm-hmm.
how, you know, they'll like look to history and say like, oh, you know, how great of these people to like speak their mind, how outspoken they were.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's like,
yeah. Yeah. If you say or do anything, it's like you're suddenly ostracized. Right? Like Colin Kaepernick is like
yeah, I
not
guess we
even
have like,
on a team anymore.
We have like no, it's like not a hot take to say like that's a ridiculous thing to have happen to a player.
Yeah.
But the feeling I have is like how could these people not like look back in history and see
right
how this is going to be viewed
yeah
later
right
like how could you not have that insight just of saying like oh in like 20 years like we're going to look back at this and be like that was actually really powerful mm-hmm. and anyone who's speaking out right now I guess it's like how I feel generally about how people talk about Trump
yeah
it's like
yeah
I mean being on the right side of history mm-hmm. I guess is just not something that people are concerned about
yeah I think like there's generally just sort of this short-sightedness that I personally don't understand but it seems like it's converging in like all parts of culture like everyone's just like so short-sighted about what's going on right now and like Trump is the perfect example of being incredibly short-sighted right and like everything he does is like flash in the pan like just like it's like you see the synapses you know like he can't like do anything that has any sort of like
yeah there's no goal
about the future
yeah.
or strategic
yeah
you know it's all just like
yeah the tariffs vomit. Are a great example of that it's yeah. there's no strategy
no.
there's no you know
but it feels like society generally is in that mode where it's like everything is very short just like profit now like climate change
because we're like on the verge of a global crisis and meltdown yeah. so everyone's like just like get what you can right now like everyone's in
instead
like this
of,
weird
like,
urgent
dealing with the crisis
yeah.
it's very bizarre it's like I don't understand humans I guess
well there is like an anxiety a general like anxiety right now
which I understand
yeah.
but my anxiety is the fact that we're not dealing with any of these prescient issues
right
instead we're just like running around with our heads cut off
and trying to get yours instead of thinking about a community
everything.
Or like
yeah.
the US like as a whole or yeah. the globe as a whole
yeah I know it's very
yeah can we talk about Sue Bird and
yeah
Megan
let's
Rapinoe?
Yeah let's get I think feel like we're going down
we're
a
like
dark
spiraling
hole. Yeah we're really spiraling so Megan Rapinoe not Rapinoe and Sue Bird, total power couple, local power couple for those of us here in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Both like seriously on top of their game,
mm-hmm.
right? Like,
yeah.
I read this stat that was like between the two of them, there are 5 gold medals, 4 FIBA World Cups, 3 NCAA championships, 3 WNBA championships, and 1 FIFA World Cup, which is like insane.
Do they have like the most like global titles between them as a couple? Like
yeah.
yeah.
And then and like I like how they are very much like foils for each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I don't like couples that are like the same person. Like that creeps me out. When
yeah.
couples like look related.
Yeah.
That I mean straight, gay, whatever. I don't like that.
Right.
Get
right.
out of here with
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Oh, a straight couple that looks the same as like a
and
particularly.
I've seen that many times.
I have two.
And every
like,
time I'm like, that's your literal sister.
And I'm concerned for their children. Like,
oh,
I'm like, oh,
totally.
They're too
yeah.
close
Very,
in the pool.
Yeah. Too close in the, oh, the gene pool.
Yeah.
Not the pool.
Okay. So.
Like we said, power couple.
This is a cute couple.
Yeah. Very cute.
This is the couple that you're like, oh, when you see them out, you're like.
Oh my god! I
like
wish
people,
I would see them out.
People were saying that in that article. They were like,
"Yeah,
oh, we
during
just,
Pride and
people,
stuff."
People see them out and are just like gushing
yeah.
and take pictures.
Yeah,
and you're like, "How cute!" Because they're both famous. They're both
yeah.
athletes. They both have like hot bods and like
yeah.
dress
oh
cute
my god.
And are
the
like
Sports Illustrated photo shoot. Whoa,
pretty bonkers.
Yeah, bonk.
Totes bonk.
Totes bonk.
There was like a glowing Seattle Times piece that was written
Seattle,
last year.
God, that article, it's just the description. I'm also like, is this writer queer or what? Because they are gushing.
Because like
it
was like a lavish piece
yeah,
about the two
and
of
the,
them.
And so
we highly recommend.
So we'll post a link to it. But so descriptive about like the eye rolling and like just their sort of like a way of interacting with each other.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
It was like truly like journalism 101. Like this is how you write a lifestyle piece.
Yeah.
Like go go interview this couple and like find out about their habits and like ask them really, it was like very like fuzzy like questions and like a lot of like set pieces, like, you know, describing the apartment and all this stuff. It was just so
running
cute.
Into the wall with the vacuum.
We were like, this is a rom-com.
Oh yeah. Wait, she shoots, she scores, right? Are we pitching that?
We're going to pitch the rom-com, the lesbian rom-com.
She shoots, she scores. It's kind of hard. It's sort of a tongue twister.
We said the theme song for She Shoots, She Scores is going to be
the Janelle Monáe song.
The Janelle Monáe.
Wait, which one?
Make Me Feel.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can't you see that in the trailer?
Yeah.
There's the trailer, right? Yeah. Trailer is, there's...
We have to see both of them playing their sports.
Right? Yep, so yep. Girl on the field, girl in the basketball court, you know, doing their thing, being like very like...
The ball's in your court.
Like balls. I don't know if ball should be in.
That's true.
I didn't think ball would be like a good.
But they both play with balls.
They do both play with balls.
Yeah. I feel like at some at some point one of them should, like Megan Rapinoe has to say to Sue Bird, like, "Well, the ball's in your court," or something. You know, like that has to be a line that's said.
It should be a line somewhere
in
the
movie.
Yeah, I was trying to think of something about field or court. Like I was like off the. But the fact that they're different words for those two things
field
are kind of,
And also like soccer match, you don't say basketball match.
No, yeah. But like net is good because there's a net.
Nothing But Net was one that I pitched.
Yeah.
A title. I really like She Shoots, She Scores.
I think
because
that's the best one.
It's applicable to both.
Yep.
But it doesn't imply.
And it sounds gay.
But does it though? I guess the word she happens twice.
Yeah.
There's a she and then there's another.
One could shoot and one could. I mean, like.
She
like
shoots,
both of them.
She scores.
So what's the crux of our plot here?
Oh,
so
yeah,
like,
what's the conflict?
Okay, what I got from the Seattle Times article was.
Oh, well, that's the crux.
Megan is like the, like. The rough and tumble wild child that can't be tamed.
Yeah.
And then Sue is like really serious and needs
reserved.
Like, and reserved, but like really put together, has her shit together, is like top of her game. And then they meet. They probably don't like each other at first.
They're both on top of their game. That's
Both on top of their game, but one is like barely kind of not together, not quite put together.
It's just her personality, according to Sue Bird in this article. Is that Megan Rapinoe is very, you know.
She could have a Snickers bar every once in a while or whatever.
Yeah.
She's like, she's like running into the wall with her while vacuuming or whatever. do they not like each other at first? Or are they like instantly like intrigued, but there's something in their way? You know, like, because Megan was in a relationship. So maybe they're like interested, but there's like that relationship in the way.
And and Sue Bird wasn't out.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, that's the other like drama of it.
She wasn't
is like
openly gay when they met.
Yeah,
but like, it did sound like they immediately liked each other.
Yeah, but definitely in the trailer, there has to be the moment where the friend is. First of all, I love the supportive friend is a man.
Yeah,
who's
a straight
guy. A straight man, I think. Yeah, who's like her best friend or BFF.
Sue Bird's best friend from like childhood.
Right.
Yeah,
and so there's a scene where she's like. Huffing and puffing and like when people are distracted like in, you know, in a movie when they're in love or whatever and they're kind of like running
deep
around
sigh.
An office or something and their friend is like, what's going on with you?
Yeah.
There's something off about you.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to figure out like what's what's happening and then they're like, you like someone.
Yeah
or you're dating someone and in this situation it's a gay woman and her straight man that's the supportive best friend and he's like, wait a second, who is this? You have to tell me who this is. And she's like, ugh.
She's kind of a
she's
public
kind of like,
figure,
no.
Right?
Yeah. She's kind of like, well,
she's
kind of famous.
She's a local, but also local. Because they both play for Seattle teams.
Yeah, where are they right now? They're like in a Seattle, where is Sue and her friend?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, well, yeah, because like she wouldn't be like,
what does she
shooting
do for
hoops
for
with
work
him.
Like when she's not training.
Which we know she has to because she only makes $40,000 a year or whatever.
They have like a side business.
Yeah.
Like her and her best friend. They have like a
they sell her own merch.
Yeah. Or like a line of like fitness products. Like a keto bar.
No more keto.
I know. I'm sorry. Keto. I'm just, it's in my zeitgeist.
I actually would rant about keto because keto is disgusting. But anyway.
No, but you know what I mean? There's a Sue Bird.
Yeah, there's a power bar.
A shake and a whatever. So they're working on that together. The bird. Bird food.
Bird food. Oh my God. Bird food. That's actually good.
Pretty cute.
That's cute. Bird food. And it could be like a nuts and seeds bar. It could be bar.
Bird with F-U-D and the symbol food. Over the U.
Bird food. Yeah. Food. Bird food. I like this. It's like a Kind bar.
High protein.
Yeah. And it's like nuts and seeds. That's why it's bird food.
Oh, so cute.
This is, wow, we should pitch this to her.
We could come up with a good logo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. So, yeah. So he's like, oh, you got to tell me who this is. And she's like, she's kind of like.
High profile.
High profile. And he's like.
Locally.
And he's like,
so she's basically telling him who it is.
And at that time, Megan Rapinoe had just gone on her knee during the anthem, kneeled during the anthem. So he's like,
it's Megan Rapinoe.
It's Megan Rapinoe?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah. And then they're all like all excited.
Yeah. I know. I just love this because it's like typically that character is like so a cute. Gay guy.
Yeah.
That's like, or oh my God, or girlfriend.
Or a fat woman or a black woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
those are the three options.
Yeah.
Dumpy white woman, black woman, sassy black woman,
sassy or gay
sassy,
man.
Sassy gay man or sassy fat woman. They all have to be sassy. They have to be sassy all no matter what. They have to
be sassy. Yeah. But this instead is just like a nice like straight guy.
Yeah. Just like super dad. He's like a dad.
Yeah. Just like, I see him having glasses.
Yeah. Wears a plaid shirt.
Mm-hmm.
He's the business mind of her empire. Yeah, of her bird food empire.
He's like running the numbers.
He's crunching the numbers. He's driving the
crunching
sales,
the bird food numbers. He's driving sales. He's running analytics. There are charts. There's pie charts everywhere.
He's operations director of operations.
Yeah.
Because all she has to do is just like tweet a little bit about it and then
tweet about bird food. Oh my God, the
he's
puns
like, Sue,
are.
Can you put up a story about bird food?
Oh my God,
food?
Sue, hello. Sue. Haven't seen a bird food post in a while. We're losing followers as we speak. Maybe you can play like her social media.
I come in with a clipboard, like a clipboard.
A clipboard, yeah, because those are so applicable these days. But the funny thing is, like every movie,
even old like
no, but every movie like that, there is a clipboard. I feel like The Wedding Planner. Hello, clipboards central.
Clipboards, a lot of clipboards. Yeah. And I feel like earpiece, in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, she had a clipboard.
Somehow there was a clipboard at some point. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because everyone always works in media or like
always or, like, a magazine.
Yeah.
And therefore somehow clipboards. It's like, I don't understand. Clipboards probably had like a surge in sales in like the early 2000s because of rom-coms exclusively.
Have you ever used a clipboard in a job?
In a job? No. Like when I was a kid to pretend I had a job? Yes.
You're like, I'm so official.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, the job I pretended to have was as in the X-Files. And I made a badge.
You were like,
I made an FBI
Scully?
Badge. Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yeah. My friend Mary and I pretended we were Mulder and Scully. I can't remember. I think I was Scully and she was Mulder, but I cannot remember.
That's a really.
But I made an FBI badge.
Yeah. My mom had like one of those, the like second cell phone that wasn't the huge brick, but it was like the flip that was still really brickish. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I would sit in her car and I would just like pretend to have business calls and be on this cell phone. For like hours.
You're like, buy, sell.
Yeah.
That's all you know. Yeah. Just those.
I don't even think I would have even thought of that. I think I'd just be like, yeah, I'm running really late for this meeting.
Oh, I have a meeting.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've got to run. I've got another meeting.
I have so many meetings today. Clear my schedule.
Yeah. Anyway, I think this film is like, has a lot of potential.
Yeah. Are there any other like lesbian athletic rom-coms?
Well, that one Disney Channel one, it's not actually lesbian, it's about twins, but they felt gay.
So the clear trope of our podcast is you identifying
everything as gay.
Yeah,
that's like just me in life though. Well,
we're never going to fact check it. Never. No, like, we're never, no, ever. No, no, this is, no, like,
this is because this is all based on
just feelings. Gut, pure gut. Gut
feelings, mm-hmm. vibes.
Wait, what was the Disney one?
Oh, I can't remember what Double Take, maybe. It's like they play basketball. They're basketball twins, but they, like, it's two actors, so they don't look alike at all, you know? Mm. Like, they're decidedly not twins. Is it called Double Take, or did I make that up?
Oh, I think I see it.
Blonde. They're blonde.
It's called Double Teamed.
See, that should have been gay.
Uncomfy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, very gay.
Mm-hmm. I do just want to defend myself really quickly though about deciding that people are gay before they've necessarily decided that. And I want to say, A, I'm gay, so like I know these things. I know the signs through living the signs, right? Back yeah. me up here.
I don't know why you have to defend picking up on gay vibes.
This is a thing that people, like, I feel like a lot of straight people get really adversarial with me about this. They're like,
oh, really?
You think everyone's gay? And I'm like, they are. Like, have you learned nothing from...
First of all, fluidity yeah. is a thing.
Yeah.
No one even...
Sexuality,
I mean,
in general
Who
is
even cares?
Fluid. Yeah, exactly. Like, what, are you trying to defend your, like, team of straights?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't understand.
Oh, you need to, like, you can't have someone subtracted
yeah,
from straights.
Yeah, your 90% of society is not enough. But I also want to say, I've been right a lot of times. Like, I've called it a lot on a lot of cases. As a gay investigator, my track record is, I'm going to say, probably spotless.
Is Gillian Anderson gay?
No, but I wish. Scully had major gay vibes, I would say. But there was, like, that supposed tension between them, which, like, didn't actually exist.
Mm.
Right? They were supposed to be, like, sort of, like...
Mm.
But I never felt... I was like, she's not interested. Anyway, I don't want to talk about David Duchovny, but... I'm trying to think of, like, who I've called it with. I mean, a lot of them are obvious, though, right?
Well, this Disney basketball movie is, like, a gay icon
so
movie.
Gay.
Yeah. I mean, it's, like, incredibly gay. What else do we want to say about women's soccer?
Fuck you, pay us.
Fuck anyone in charge, because they yeah. need to pay these players.
Yeah.
We need, like, more... support for the players.
Yeah.
Like, everyone needs to, like, basically, like, support the players on whatever they're fucking doing, whether it's wanting pay,
mm-hmm.
Contract negotiations, whether they want to be gay, straight, whatever, whether they want to, like, tell Trump to fuck off, whether mm-hmm. they want to kneel, whether they want to, like, pose in whatever. Plus, by the way, that pose was, like, so incredible.
Yeah.
And someone was like, they should make that a statue in Seattle, and I was like, yeah. yes, they
the
should.
Megan Rapinoe pose.
They should make the Megan Rapinoe pose a
it
statue.
Also was so not offensive in any by any no. stretch of the, there was nothing offensive about it.
No, it's offensive if you're a man who's like, I don't like when women look like this,
or when women are successful and proud.
No, they literally can't handle the face that
because
you,
she's
when
like
you're confident.
Yeah,
when you have like a look of like, I have
I got this shit. Yeah.
In my life.
Yeah.
They do not, they can't handle that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it is. That's all that it is. Is like a male, like, ego.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like in the something, back of their head. That's
it's
like
something unlikable. Like, she's unlikable.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah. I just don't like that.
Yeah.
I just don't like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a question.
Mm-hmm.
What's your, like, general history with women's soccer? Did you ever play soccer?
I played soccer, yeah, from, like, first grade through eighth grade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then I hurt my knee in eighth grade, and then I didn't really... I wasn't ever, like, a star soccer player. Oh, but I did. This is an important detail. When I was growing up, I was very serious about basketball. I had a, mm-hmm. like, personal coach...
Mm-hmm.
And I was on, like, a select team as well as my school team for years, like... You know, I played all through. I played in high school and whatever. And, like, my career goal as a child was to be in the WNBA. Like, that was, like, what I thought I was going
to
do.
Right. What drew you to those sports when you were that age?
Like, I don't know. I played every sport. I played volleyball, softball, soccer.
You were
I was just like an athletic kid. I was very gay, like ultra tomboy. All my friends were boys. I was like always playing. I was just like very into athletics, and that was just my whole steez. I don't know. I don't know why specifically, but I like loved basketball, and I was really good. Like at an early age, like way everybody else was like terrible in like fourth grade or whatever, and I was like really good because I was super tall and like
when you were like young when you were like younger
super tall, and everyone else was like a head shorter than me, so it was less like, you know. And then like when I got to high school, it got again too fucking competitive, too serious. My coach like would never let me play because I was a freshman or whatever. So it like wasn't fun anymore. And like everybody else, I, since I forever, I was playing, post, which is like the, like Shaq, you know, like down by the hoop, really tall, people. And like, so then in high school, it was like, I was not that tall anymore. Cause like there were girls that were like 6'2" and stuff, and they were like big. And I was like super gangly, and I just got pushed around, and I was like, this isn't fun, you know? So then I stopped playing.
So then you kind of figured out that you didn't want to be like super serious about it.
Well, I just like wasn't tall enough, basically.
At a certain point with basketball, like it becomes like a size thing.
And to be in that position, you have to be really like.
Isn't that the same with volleyball too? It's like you have to be like a certain height to be like.
Volleyball players are generally pretty tall,
There are some short basketball players.
Well, yeah. I mean, because you can, because that's like point guards and shooting guards.
Famous Seattle player. He's pretty short. He's can really be short.
Shorter.
So, what day did you stop playing soccer?
Okay, so
or what age?
In eighth grade, I got hurt. I hurt my knee. I do want to say that the reason I hurt my knee was because my fellow teammate, when we were scrimmaging in practice, fucking bulldozed me, and then I was out for the rest of the season. And my knee is never gonna recover.
That sucks.
Yeah. Anyway, so I stopped playing soccer in eighth grade.
And then did you watch soccer? Like, were you like a fan? Like, you just watch?
I've never actually been like a soccer watching, like a fan of like watch. I've watched like football and baseball and basketball, but never soccer for some reason. But like, but I also I've been to like Seattle Reign games. And like, I think now, especially in the last several years, that women's soccer has become way more prominent and like way more in the sort of like cultural whatever. I've been more interested in it because it's like actually being like, you know, they're playing it at bars and it's like more around. So I'm more interested in it now.
I'm just curious because I think especially like gay communities are really like getting into certain kinds of athletics, and like, it kind of, I think it shows like the trend within sports to see what communities are responding to what sports, like how like generally baseball is trending down because it's so, it's not inclusive. It's like
so slow.
It's slow. It's boring. It's like kid, like little like kids don't really want to play it or watch it. It's kind of, and they haven't changed. They haven't like evolved the game at all. And then like, in Seattle or like in like in other cities, I think like soccer is getting really big. And
I mean, I've been to multiple Seattle Storm games in my life. Like the Seattle Storm is an amazing, very successful team. And
their
like,
games are so fun.
The games are really fun. And there's
I think people sleep on it a lot. Like there's like more people should be going to Storm games because they're so fun.
Yeah.
Literally every time someone says we don't have a basketball team, like that, that quote. We everyone should answer with, yes, we do have a basketball team. They're, and they've won fucking amazing. They've won three championships. Their name is the Storm. They're super fucking good. You need to pay attention to them.
It's definitely,
it's crazy that Sue Bird has been on that team since forever. Did you see her? She joined in 2002, I think. And
whoa.
So she's been on that team for all three of their championships. So,
okay, so what about you? What's your history with soccer just generally?
Well, so so my history with soccer is that I wasn't really like a fan of soccer at all, and I never thought of playing it because there's so much running.
It is a lot of running.
Which I knew even as a kid, I was like, I'm not into this amount of running. The sports I played were like softball. I was also really athletic, I think because I grew up a lot with my dad, who like taught me kind of to be more of a tomboy, and like we like played a lot of sport because just he was athletic, so he, we like did a lot of like sports together. Mm-hmm. We'd like go play catch every day and like, you know, go play tennis at the local tennis courts. And so I played softball and then I played tennis. But soccer was always just like really unattainable to me because I just knew that the level of athleticism was like super high with kids who played soccer, and I could never run.
And
I didn't have endurance for it. I could have like probably trained my way into it, but I just, and I also didn't grow up with like a passion for it. Like I wasn't like, oh, it's so cool, which I know happens a lot now. Now a lot of kids are like from a very early age are like shown it and like, it's like a very cool thing to them. But I was going to say like then later, I like started to realize that there was this like general trend with soccer, but that women's soccer was like much cooler than men's soccer to me, because men's soccer is like, it is very like Eurocentric.
The U.S. women's team is exponentially more successful than the U.S. men's team.
Yeah, they're like on the global stage a lot more. Yeah. And also, like, generally people's complaint about men's soccer is like there's a lot of flopping and the like huge scandal of like, you know, FIFA like whatever. And so. So women's soccer just seemed like better to me. I'm like, oh, this is like a cooler, you know, you can like be a fan of this. And I don't know. I've just never been like super into soccer as a sport.
Yeah.
It's fine. I think it's really fun to watch like highlights of, but I can't get into it as like a, I'm going to watch, I sit down and watch like all these games.
Yeah. No, I am going to watch the
game championship on Sunday. Match on Sunday.
Which is at 8 a.m.
Yeah, it's really early.
What the fuck? But even having played soccer for so many years, I wasn't the best. It wasn't my passion at all because I was so obsessed with basketball. And that it was just like, I was kind of just like staying in shape all year round
for basketball. It does seem like a good training sport. What's our...
what's our scale?
Scale. Should we just do soccer balls?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's easy. Yeah.
Okay, so my rating for women's soccer is going to be multi-pronged. The concept of, like, women kicking ass at soccer is 5 out of 5 soccer balls, right? The U.S. women's team about to win the World Cup, hello. And then my rating for generally everything else about all the corruption and inequality related to women's soccer and women's athletics in general, 0 out of 5 soccer balls. Right? I mean, it feels simple. So black and white. Just like a soccer ball.
I think for my review, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to weight all the different things and then like come out with an average.
Oh, an average. You like to do that.
Just because I like to do that. That's your style, yeah. That's my style. But I do think that, because I think that all of that stuff averages out to be a fair rating.
A rating, yeah.
Because here's the thing, because I think like women's soccer as a thing, as a whole, like if I was just like, okay, expand my brain, just like think about it as a whole, I feel like it is driven by the players and like the movement behind the fans and the players and the support behind the support behind the sport, right? Yeah. So I think even throughout like all of the ways that the teams were like, okay, so also highly recommend the Sports Illustrated podcast throwback. That takes you through the beginnings of the U.S. women's national team. And it's really interesting. So listen to that if you haven't. But basically, like, even throughout all of this, like, horrible history, the players themselves are just, like, so dynamic, so interesting, so, like, so incredible.
Stellar athletes.
And stellar athletes. And we just have such a good, like, positive feeling generally.
Yeah, that video of them dancing in the locker room.
God. Just stuff like that is, like, so amazing. It's incredible to have, like, a positive. I think there are, like, small things that try to bring these women down. Small or large. Trump is trying to, like, knock them out. And, like, they're not being paid. And they're, like, struggling through all of these things. And it's, like... But no matter what, they're like still so victorious like throughout history. It's actually like such an amazing story overall. And then I think generally also to have a sport. So here's my other like little nuance that I didn't mention before. But so I have like a kid and we always talk about like what sports he should play and all this stuff. And if he's going to play sports and da da da. If people like put their weird stuff on them, like, oh, kids have to play whatever. Anyways, so it's a whole thing. But one thing I do know is that I don't think I want to have him play football at all because it's just too dangerous. There's like too many injuries. It's like I don't want him to have brain damage. And I think the rise of soccer in America is good. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a really it's a great form of exercise. It's like healthy. It's really it's also cool that it is so diverse and like inclusive already. We took him to both a soccer we did like a little you can do like you know a few months or whatever of classes like once a week, and he did both soccer and gymnastics, and the differences between the two were incredible. It was like in gymnastics it was like all little white kids, mostly girls, and then soccer it was like all kids of color, like minority white, like and it was just like a really good vibe also. So I really like that about soccer. And I think that having such hyper visible like queer women
that are like at the top
of their game are like it's like really amazing.
It feels really good that like, you know, Trump is trying to fuck with her or whatever, but like she just like you said, she's just like still winning.
Yeah.
And it's like that's kind of the thing about women's soccer and athletics in general, is like the perseverance. They love the game.
Yeah.
They still play, they still are really fucking good. They still win.
Yeah.
No matter what everybody tries to, you know, nitpick every little thing they do and like pay them no money and stuff.
Yeah, and they're like purely themselves. Like they're like, hey, like we're actually gonna own our identity. I think women's athletics is one of the areas where I'm like, I've probably encountered being gay as like a concept initially from some of women's athletics, right? Yeah. Like there's only so many touchstones you can think of when you're little about like
understanding
what being gay is and all that stuff. And it's like, I definitely think that women's athletics is like one of those things. Anyways.
Well, yeah, it's like positive to have heroes.
Right.
Queeros.
Aww.
Like heroes that are queer.
Yeah.
That can be heroes to any type of person.
Yeah.
You know, a kid who loves soccer is like, Megan Rapinoe is the best or whatever. And it's like, that kid doesn't have to be queer themselves. Like that's good.
Yeah.
If non-queer people and kids can look up to queer people, like that's like a net positive, if you will.
So my rating, I'm gonna take off one because one, I'm not personally a huge fan of soccer, and also the owners and like all of the like management and shit is all like really fucked up. So I'm gonna rate it 4 out of 5. Oh, okay. Soccer balls.
That's pretty good. That's pretty high. I would say my net rating, I know I said zero, so I guess it actually does average out, like 0 on the one side, the shitty side, and then 5 on the positive side would net out to a 3 out of 5 soccer balls. Because I also, similarly, I'm not like a huge soccer fan, like I'm not going to lie and say like I'm an avid watcher of soccer. I am going.
You're a bandwagoner.
We are taking my niece who plays soccer to a Seattle Reign game at the end of the month, though.
Nice.
Which is the team that Megan Rapinoe's on.
Nice.
So, and it is fun to watch in person. That's the thing is, like, I don't really like watching sports on TV.
Yeah, I
want to
go.
But going in person is, like, way more fun.
Support women's sports.
Yeah.
Go see your local women's sports teams.
Mm-hmm. I mean, guess what? They're probably fucking really good.
There's literally no reason not to.
Yeah.
So just go do it. Cool. All right. Well, that's the show.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
If you have something to get off your chest, email us at rantandreviewpod@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 805-635-7268.
We need voicemails, so please call
us. Please leave us a voicemail.
Call and complain or rant or like give us feedback or whatever.
Literally, you can rant. And rant is like maybe a strong word. It could be a gripe.
Yep.
It can be small, medium, large, whatever. Just anything that's annoying. Let us know. And if so, you might end up on the show. So hit us up.
If you like Rate and Review, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at @rantandreview, rant_and_review, and on Instagram at @rantandreview.
Bye.